week's Shurim are the Ilunishmas Eliezer Ben Yosef, Moshe Nossen Ben Yosef Shaul. Wednesday, the 24th of September, Kof Dalet Elul, Yom Galet Tzlichus, Rabbi Pesach Kron, Eating and Overeating, a Torah Perspective on Food.
It's a very great schus to be able to come back here once again for Torah Way and to be able to speak to all of you. I would like to thank Dov Harris, who I know is in the car taking his children to school, and the officers of PAL for bringing me in. And I must say that I'm very honored that this is the first time that Torah Way is being videoed here in London. And if I would have known, I would have lost more weight, especially since I'm speaking about this topic. I would like to begin by telling you a wonderful, delightful story. And that story was written by Rav Shimon Schwab. He wrote it in 1952 when he was a Rav in Baltimore. And he tells a story that happened when he was a little boy of 4 years old. And he said the traumatic effect that that story had on him, even though he was only four, it stayed with him all his life, and it certainly had a powerful impact on him. And what happened was that his parents wanted that that pictures should be taken of him and his younger brothers. And some of you may remember that the old-time photographers, they had this big black cape. They would have it over their camera and like a hood, and the photographer gave blocks and toys to the children, and they were playing, and he was taking all the pictures of the little children, and everybody was smiling and happy. And then the photographer finishes, and he takes his camera, and he wants to take back the toys. So Rav Shimon said to him, what do you mean? These are my toys. You gave them to me. He said, no, what do you mean? These are my toys. I just gave it to you just for a few moments, but really, these are my toys. And Rav Shimon writes that until that time in his life, anyone who had ever given him toys, whether his parents or grandparents, uncles and aunts, they always gave it to him. And now this person was taking back like an Indian giver. And he was so shattered by it that he remembered it forever. And then as he got older, Rav Shimon says, that he realized that everything that we have in life are toys. Why did the photographer give the children the toys? Because he wanted that to get a certain reaction. And that's what everything that we have in life, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us, are toys. Whether it's a spouse, whether it's a house, whether it's finances, everything that we have in this world is temporary. It's toys. And it's given to us to see how we are going to react because the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us for this particular time. I was so amazed by this concept that I'm going to write this story in my new book, which is coming out Hanukkah time, and I'm going to call it Toys R Us. But so one of the toys that we all get that is really more available than anything else, that is food. Food is in abundance, Baruch Hashem, in America and England and all the free countries. But I must tell you something that was written in the media recently in May of 2008. It says Americans waste 27% of the food available for consumption. 96.4 billion pounds of the 356 billion pounds of edible food in the United States was never eaten. But don't think England is any better. In England, people toss away a third of the food that is purchased. In other words, we have such an abundance, we don't realize and we don't appreciate what food is all about. So I want to tell you a beautiful story that will set the tone for what I believe is really the essence of this talk, and that is the elevation and the kedusha of food. There's a wonderful young man that Dov Harris introduced me to the last time that I was here. He lives just a few blocks from here. His name is Mendy Teitelbaum. Some of you may have known his wonderful father who passed away recently. His name is Rav Yitzchak Gover Teitelbaum. And Mendy told me something incredible. He said that one time he asked his father, he said, Tata, I would like to ask you something. They say something about you. I want you to tell me if it's true or not. They say that when you were in Auschwitz and that you got your bread ration for the day, so every morning you would take the piece of bread that you got, you cut it in half. Half you kept for yourself, and the other half you gave out little parcels and bits of food for other people in the barracks that were about to die or were sicker than you were. Tata, tell me, is that really true? Now, his father never spoke about Auschwitz. He never spoke about the camps. But if his son is asking him the question, he said, yeah, it's true. That's what I did. But he said, I want to tell you where I learned it from. He said, we grew up in Poland. And in Poland, there was no such thing as freezers and refrigerators.
So every day our mother would make us fresh food for supper. He said, and one evening, what we had was a big bowl of soup that had maybe some chicken or vegetables in it. It was a very cold, wintry night, and each one of the nine children was sitting at the table, and our father was sitting up front. And my mother went and gave from the big bowl she was giving to every child, the father first, and every child going around giving each child a part of the soup. And as she was almost by the last child, there was a nasty knock on the door. And a poor man, and Rabbi Yitzchak David Tarabam told his son, I still remember, he smelled so awful. He looked awful. It was a cold, slushy, wintry night. And he came inside the house and he said, Gitz Essen, give food. And the mother said to him, go into the other room, wash up, and you come back and you'll join us at the table. And she took an empty bowl, and she went from every child, and took out from every bowl of every child one spoonful, put it into this empty bowl, and then by the time the fellow came to the table, he had food like everybody else. That's how he learned to give out food in Auschwitz. That's the Kedusha, that's the elevation that food can be. Now I want to tell you a pshat in a Gemara. Now I know that this is Drush, and the Odom Godel who said this, I'm sure that he didn't mean it as pshat in the Gemara, because we all know the Gemara, as you'll see in a moment, but it's just brilliant, the Einfall. We know that the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei Amud Aleph tells us that there's a stira. It says first, Lashem ha'oretz umuloya. Everything belongs to Hashem. And then the Pasuk tells us, oh, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. Hashemayim, only the heavens belong to Hashem. Ba'oretz nosal of ne'odam. So what is it? It's a stira. On one hand it says, Lashem ha'oretz umuloya. Everything on the earth is Hashem. Then the other one it says, no, ba'oretz nosal of ne'odam. So the Gemara gives a teretz, which we all know, kan koidem bracha, kan acha bracha. The simple pshat is, before the bracha, it belongs to Hashem. The apple, anything that grew. But after the bracha, we make a bracha, it belongs to us. So this Adam Godel said, and perhaps with Derech Drush, but he said brilliant. He said, no, that's not what the Gemara means. Before the bracha and after the bracha, the Gemara doesn't say which one is which. Before the bracha, the apple is a simple ha'oret zika apple. It's a simple earthy apple. But after you made a bracha and you are makadish the apple, then it's Lashem ha'oret umloya. Because you elevated the apple. You made it into something special. You took this and you made this a vehicle of Kedusha, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a matter of fact, we all know that the Rambam brings that there are four levels of creations. There's the domain, like a rock. It's inanimate. Tzemeach, something that grows. Then chai. Then something that lives, not only a flower but an animal. And then Medaber, the person that speaks. And it's interesting. Because of these gradations, there is actually a Din of Shulchan Aruch. And it's brought in Kufay and Aleph and Arachayim Mishaburus Yivkot Niyud Aleph that Rav Huna Isa B'Gemara, that Rav Huna holds, Maichol Adam Ein Machilin Oysel Behema. You're not allowed to give food that we eat to an animal. Food is on a higher elevation. Food, in a sense, is Lashem or a Tzimulaya. After, especially, you make a brach on food and you makadish the food, you're not supposed to stamp give it to an animal. So then, the Mishavur brings that the Rabbah's Mistapik, and he says, maybe the din is not like Rab Huna, so that's why we have the minig, we all know that Pasha Tashalach, we give the birds, we give them some bread. But technically, according to Rab Huna, you just don't give human food, you don't give it for consumption for animals. And I'll tell you just something fascinating. We talk about the four levels. So the Alter Peslavotsky used to talk about different levels. He said there are four levels are like this. He's talking from the highest and up. Adam Hamadaber, a person that speaks, even a goy. Then Adam Bechlal Yisrael, a person who's a yid. Adam Halaymet Torah, a yid who learns Torah, is the third. And Adam Halaymet Torah Musar, the one who learns Torah and Musar, is the Slavotsky. That's what he held with Slavotsky. So we have different gradations. Now, that is a fascinating story. This story touched me so. It's one of the first stories that I heard from Shaul Shvadron. And it's not only a great story, but it's a great lesson in life. And he told a story about what happened with Rav Aaron Kalina. Rav Aaron Kalina was the stolen Rebbe, and he was sitting Motzei Shabbos, and there was many chassidim there, and they gave him an apple. He made a brocha, and he ate the apple. So everybody was saying, whoa, what a brocha. Why, you see that? The Rebbe made a brocha. Like, everybody was so impressed. So there was little boy Yankel sitting in the back, like he was thinking, like, come on, what's the big deal? Like, oh, I make a bracha and eat an apple. The Rebbe makes a bracha and eat an apple. I'm like, get a life. What's so special here? So the Rebbe was very perceptive, and he sees the little boy
It's exactly what you mean. I want to ask you something. Come here, Pat. I want to ask you something.
So I was looking. Rebbe's bringing up the little boy Yankel. He
said, Yankel, tell me the difference. What's the difference between me and you? I eat an apple, make a bracha. You eat an apple, make a bracha.
So the little boy says, Rebbe, I wasn't going to say anything, but I was thinking the same thing. Like, what's the big deal? We both eat apples. We both make bracha.
So the Rebbe, so the Rabbi Kalina said, no, I'll tell you the tremendous difference. He said, this sounds like Boropop. He says like this. He says, no, I'll tell you a great, great big difference between me and you. He says, when I wake up in the morning, the Rebbe says, I look at the beautiful world that the Eibishter made, the sky, the trees, the nature. It's beautiful. I want to make a bracha. But you can't just not make a bracha for any, for no reason. So I want Shnegavasa, then I daven, then I take an apple, and I make a bracha, and I thank Hashem. You, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you think is, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I gotta have an apple. But you know, like I'm showing you to say, the Medoy Takan to say, if you eat without a bracha, right, your mother will knock your teeth out if you don't daven first. So you also wash negavata, and you daven, and you take an apple and make a bracha. So we both take apples, and we both make brachas. But listen to the genius, what the Rebbe said. I eat an apple, so I should be able to make a bracha. You make a bracha, so you should be able to eat an apple. That's great, because that's what life is all about. The Rebbe takes the material things, the apple, everything that we have in material life, and he does it only so he should be able to make a bracha, should be able to make a connection to Hashem. The little boy, like the rest of us, he makes a bracha, should be able to eat the material things. By him, the material things is the main thing. And that's what we have to realize. That really, in a sense, food is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a matter of fact, we find that the first Aveira in society had to do with food. Right? When Adam and Chava ate, David said, from that tree that I told you not to eat, you went and you eat and you did. That was the first Aveira. And the truth is, at the end of the Torah, we also find about food. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivar, it tells us in Hazino. Klal Yisrael got fat, and Vayivar, and then they kicked and then rebelled. Shomanta, Aviso, Kasiso, you got fat and thick and corpulent. Vayita Shalakai, also on your Fosuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at the beginning of time, the food did us in, and at the end of the Torah, again, it's complaining about how people react to food. I'll tell you about a great organization in New York. If you don't have it here, maybe you do have it here. But the name is fabulous in New York. It's called Sheris HaPlate. Not Sheris HaPlate, Sheris HaPlate. You know what they do? They go to every simcha, every chasana, every bar mitzvah, and all the food that's left over, not on the tables, but in the kitchen. They gather it up, and then they give it to Aniyim. Sheris HaPlate. Again, they're taking food and using it for a Dova Sheva Kedusha. I want to tell you something that's so frightening. You know what happens when a person overeats? They feel so good about themselves that they'll do anything. They're so confident. Now, what I would tell you, I would never have the courage to say, except it's a Befeinu Sherabbeinu Bechaya. Some of you know the Sefer Kada Kemach. At the end of this Kada Kemach, there are different Chalokim, and one is called Shulchan Shel Arba. Now, did it ever occur to you why the Pidyon HaBen is different than any other mitzvah? For example, you come to a bris, first you have the ceremony, the bris, then you sit down and you wash. You come to a chasana, you have the chuppah, then you sit down and you wash. By a Pidyon HaBen, it's just the opposite. First you sit down and wash, and then you make the Pidyon HaBen. Why is that different? So I once saw an answer in a sefer, but first I want to tell you Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, where did it come that the brother sold Yosef? Vayeshvu lecha lechem. They sat and they ate bread. And they felt good about themselves. That's when they saw the Yishmaelim, and they were so into themselves that that's when they sold him. When somebody is involved in Tanugim, in Moisrit, somebody sits and he eats, he becomes a Balgaiva. A person feels so haughty, so comfortable about himself, he'll do all kinds of Averis. It was only that they ate and they drank, and that's why they sold them, because they were so into themselves. Oh, that's what I saw in the Sefer. That's why we watched by the Pidyon HaBen first. Because why do we buy back the Bechor? Because they sold the Bechor, they sold Yosef. How did they do it? They washed and they sold them. So we wash and then we do the Pidyon HaBen. Top of a fella. I can't get over that shot. A brilliant, brilliant Ein Sof. And you know what he also writes? An incredible thing. V'yachalta v'savata. We know of hereafter. Why? HaKadosh HaTov. But you know what he says? It's more than that.
You better binge right away. Because if you don't make that connection to Hashem after you're eight, you might do Averis. Because you're going to be so filled with yourself. Binge right away to make a connection to Hashem and understand that that's what food is all about. So I want to tell you something that is painful to listen to, but we should still know it. Because the Manchester Rosh Hashiva used to say this over in the name of Rav Mendel Rimanova. And he said, why do we find that children are so delightful until they're 12, 13 years old, and so many kids never, I have to tell you, in England and in Israel and America, we see kids at risk. Now, this is not the answer for all of them, but this is the answer for some of them, but we shouldn't judge anyone who we know that Rahman al-Azman has a child at risk. Just look at us, ourselves. And you know what Mendel Rimanova says? It comes from Tray for Food. He says, well, they're not Tray for Food. It doesn't have the OU or the OK or the Badass. No, that's not what he's talking about. He says, when somebody buys food with money that they were not supposed to earn, that they took a commission that was really not theirs, or they earned money in an illegal way according to the Torah, then that food is ruchni as dika treif. And when a person gives their child food that was bought with money that was ruchni as dika treif, it goes into the child's neshama and brings them off the derech. Is it worth any 5,000 pound commission, no matter what it is, that a kid is going to go off the derech? That's Gehenim on this world when a person has a child like that. Is any money worth it? Of course not. So one of the reasons that we have to be so erlach with our money is because of the food that we bought. Because otherwise, look what happens to the children. And you know something? It is a battle. There's no question. I'll show you something now. It's incredible. Do you ever think of this? The word lechem, which is bread, the word mochama, a war, a battle, has the word lechem in it. We fight with the overeating aspect of our lives. Mozain comes from the word of clay Zion. Mozain is food, clay Zion is ammunition. Teref, right? We know teref is food, but titen teref lebesa, toref yosef. It was ripped. Well, again, fighting, war, matzah means argument. Matzah, of course, is matzah, as we know. Lekach means to take, but lekach is also lekicha, taking. So it's a losing battle. And we're losing it all over the world. And part of the tshuva, I believe, of Elul is we have to change. We have to change. You know, 66% of adult Americans are overweight or obese, according to the studies in 2004. And I want to tell you something. I figure people are going to say, oh, it's America, right? What about England? So I want to tell you. In Cancer Research UK, this is what they came out with recently. In England, 33% of men in England are overweight. 43% of women are overweight in England. 25% of men in England are obese. That's beyond overweight. And 23% of women are obese. That's beyond overweight. Which comes out. And this means that people with a healthy body of weight are the minority in England. Over 3 in 5 people in England are either overweight or obese. And I'm included. And I'm embarrassed. And I'm not winning this battle either. You know, I had a daughter, Baruch Hashem, when she got married. So of course, I wanted to look great for the pictures. So I lost a lot of weight, and 3 months later, I was back to where I started from. Recently, I have an ankle that had a bar mitzvah. Again, I lost the weight, and then, you know, you gain it back. It's terrible. It's a battle. It's a mochama, teref, mozain. I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway because I'm just like everybody else. I remember recently I went to a Shabbos bar mitzvah. A close friend of mine was making a bar mitzvah for an ankle. So, and I decided, you know, I know he's going to serve a lot of food or whatever, and it's going to be incredible. I'm going to control myself. Mamish with the challah, I'm start with kiddush and the challah, I'm going to be careful. So what happens? I come Friday afternoon. Oh, I just from out of town. Oh, they're serving franks and blankets. Right? I was finished before Shabbos even started. So I want to tell you, see, I know I had to speak about this topic. And I went to my Rebbe, Rav David Cohen. I said, you know, I have to speak about eating. You know, and overeating, and you know, like, spasmus, exactly. He said, no, I'll tell you a great story. Listen to this story. He said there was a woman who was very, very overweight. And the Beis Yaakov called her and told her they wanted her to be the guest of honor. She said, I can't be the guest of honor. At the night of the dinner, everybody's going to look at me. I feel very self-conscious. So the Manal said, no, don't be silly. Everybody loves you. You give a lot of money to the school. Your kids went to the school. And besides, the dinner's in 2 months from now. I give you a bracha. You can lose all the weight that you have to lose in 2 months. You'll look great. It'll be wonderful. She said, okay, fine. Good. Comes the dinner 2 months later. She didn't lose an ounce. Not an ounce. So she gets up and she speaks and she says like this. She says, Rabbi, I want you to know I didn't want to be here tonight. I was embarrassed. But
the Manal gave me a bracha
that I was going to lose the weight. So she said, I want you to know, you're all looking at a bracha of Atola. I'm not a bracha of Atola, I'm a bracha standing three. Maybe. So the truth is, when you think about it, really, how could we be so selfish? That's really the truth when you think about it. I mean, it's precious. We all know today, if a person doesn't exercise and a person doesn't control the way they're going to eat, nitsa eichredendik. You know how this topic came to be? You know what made me talk on this topic? You wouldn't believe Hatzolah in Brooklyn. Hatzolah in Brooklyn saw so many people that have heart attacks, diabetes, strokes. Those are the things that they get called on right away. And never do I have to tell you how many cancers. We have doctors here that can tell you. We all know it. Who are we kidding? We all know it. Is it right that a person should overeat? I mean, this is terrible to say, but you have to think about it this way. And one's wife is going to sit shiver for them because they needed that extra franken blanket? Because you had to have that three pieces of cake at every single Shalom Zachar that you went to Friday night or every Kiddush? And after the wedding, after you ate the smorgasbord and after you ate the main dish, here comes the Viennese table, it's as big as Vienna, right? And you got a taste from every single thing. Is it fair to make kids sit shiva just because you need another piece of cake? It's a cruel way to think about it. But, you know, we have to wake up. If 3 out of 5 people are overweight, and we know that the doctors are telling us that overweight is really a serious problem, that's part of the tshuva. That's part of the tshuva that we have to do in Elul. It's not only ruchnis, but begashmis we have to take care of ourselves. And you know, when you think about it, the Rebbein Shlalom has given us such a great gift besides the Torah. There's no greater gift than the human body. The human body, the heart beats 40 million times a year. The average human blinks 6 million times a year. 400 gallons of blood flow through the kidneys in one day. Blood cells regenerate every 120 days. It's incredible to me, this statistic, because we always say you should live to be well until 120, right? The blood cells also, they live until 120. Blood vessels, if you would place them one next to the other, measure 62,000 miles in the body. It's a beautiful gift. We have to take care of it. That's our achrayus. We shouldn't be selfish. But I want to tell you something so amazing that when you see this in the psukim, it's mamish mind-boggling. And it's like this. The Mesha Chochma said something so hafladik. How did it come that Chava did the Aveira? Listen to what he says. He says, what was the first Shalom Aleichem that the Eivisha said to Adam Arishin? Hi, how are you? I just wanted to introduce myself. First time I'm talking to you. What are the first words that Hashem says to Adam Arishin in the Torah? The first words, you won't believe it. You can look in the Mesha Chokma and you'll see here. Gracious Beis, Pasuk Kezayin. Vayetzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Leima. The Eivisha says, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Teichel. From the Eitz Hagan, from any tree, you can eat. And the Itadashi came. The first thing Hashem said to him, Shalom Aleichem, food, eat. Let's make a connection to food. It's going to be wonderful. Just remember, don't eat from the Itadashi, but from everything else you can eat. Now, watch what the Isha, what Chava said to the Nochash. He tells her, you know, well, who says that you can't touch it, you can't eat it, right? But tell me, Isha or Nochash, gracious Gimel Pasik Beit. Pri Itadon Neichel. We're allowed to eat from the food in the garden. From the Eitadah, when Hashem said we're not allowed to eat. What do you mean Hashem said you're not allowed to eat? Why didn't she say Hashem said we should eat? Hashem said to Adam Rishon, eat. And then, from the Eitadah, don't eat. What did she say? She didn't say Hashem said eat. She said, eat, yeah, we should eat. Hashem said we shouldn't eat. He says it's Adam's fault. All these years we're blaming the women. The Mesh Chacham blames the men. He says Adam didn't give the message. If Adam would have told Chava that through eating you make a connection to Hashem, she never would have done the Aveira. She only said the negative. So he writes, if Adam would have said to his wife, Hashem Yisbarach, Siva La'echom in Agon, we're supposed to enjoy food. He didn't give the message properly. That's why she went off the derech. So if that's the case, we have to know that it's not really a question of control. We can all control ourselves. Which yid here or here who's going to watch or listen doesn't control themselves. The milchus and fleishiks, whether Yeki 3 hours or the rest of us 6 hours, everybody controls themselves. What? And Yom Kippur, is any yid in his right mind is going to eat? We can control ourselves. Chametz and matzah, you're not going to control yourself? You can control yourself. If you believe it's strong enough, you can control yourself. So how are we going to change? this is how we're going to change. And I love this Kol Yoka. Listen to this Kol Yoka. B'zeyat apecha teich alechem. B'zeyat apecha teich alechem. He writes, we know that that was the curse that Hashem gave to Adam Rishon. With sweat, he's going to have to eat bread. That means it's going to be difficult to have a job. And bring panosa. Listen what the Kol Yoka says. B'zeyat apecha teich alechem. And B'reishis gimel yutet. Yeishmach mikan. There's a raya from here. L'divrei haroifim. To that which the doctors say. She'koidim kol achila. Before you eat, you gotta do something that gets you worked up, that gets you built up a sweat. You gotta get on the treadmill before you eat. Why? Because that helps the digestion. So you know what I love about this? Hashem is so angry at Adam and Rishon. You ruined the world. There's gonna be death. But you know something? I love you. Take care of yourself. Build up a sweat, then you'll eat lechem. Isn't that great? That's how a father gives Musa. Now listen, you're going to get it, but get some exercise. That's what I love about this Kol Yoka. So I want to tell you two things. If you have a pencil and paper, you'll all be able to write this down, because every single one of you can be helped, and including me. Diet, okay. The first thing is we have to accept that we cannot eat all we want whenever we want. But I want to tell you about two great people in America that you will all have access to from this afternoon if you want it. There's a guy in Baltimore, his name is Eli Glazer. Eli Glazer started an organization called Seveya. Seveya means to be satiated. He lost over 100 pounds. I presume that's about 50 kilos. His wife lost 125 pounds. And they started an organization that offers confidential counseling for individuals and families. All you got to do is call them. I'll give you their telephone number and the website. But what's happening in America is that they went to Tom Minnesota. Tom Minnesota has 700 schools throughout America, and the Seveya program is now going to be implemented in all the schools. So I want to read you a letter from the Manal of Tervadas, who writes to Eli Glazer in Baltimore. We find that your weekly newsletters and your practical gear specifically for a Torah Hashkofa to our students has made a great difference. As a result of this campaign, we have been able to remove the soda machine from the lobby of our school and have been very conscious of the quality of food we provide for our students during the day here at Tervadas. Tervadas is one of the biggest schools in New York. That's where I went to. And over here, they realize it's come a time. We have to control the snacks that we give our children. We have to control what food is allowed in the schools. And this Seveya organization, you can call it 1-888-876-8392. Again, you dial in New York, in America actually, 888-876-8392. And his address is info@seveya.com. Seveya.com. And if you want to look anything about it, Seveya.com, that's the name of the website. Heilige Yidden, Erlige Yidden, who went through, who probably knew that they were going to lose their lives if they continued their tremendous obesity, and now they're helping kids all over the United States. And there's no reason. They'll implement it. I called them before I came to England, said they'll implement it in any school that you want. Let me tell you about another thing. There's a guy in Brooklyn that I got to know, Zvi Goldberg. Wonderful, wonderful person. And he's what's called a wellness coach. He has devoted his life free. He does not charge. He only does men, he doesn't do women. If, let's say, you feel that you have a weight problem, you just write to this guy. Again, I'll give you his address in a second. This Zvi Goldberg, and he sends you emails constantly. And he has helped so many, many people. And I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because we're all in it together. I was once at a convention for Gateways, and a guy, Jerry Gross, came over to me. And he said, you know something? You're a wonderful guy, but you got to lose weight. I said, you know, I appreciate it. You know, I know it's true, you're right. He said, you know how I know that you got to lose weight? So embarrassing. He said, I noticed your tie was dirty. You know why? Because, you see, used to be when I was skinny, so, you know, the food goes straight down, but you know, when the stomach is sticking out, the tie is sticking out. So, you know, I noticed that you got some spots on your tie. It's humiliating. But, you know, let's face it, we got to change. We don't all look like this gentleman here. If we would all look like him, you know, that would be fine, right? Maybe put yourself on a video. But the idea is, so this guy, Zvi Goldberg, he's always sending emails. Here's my favorite email. It's great to hear from you, Honored Rabbi. Who needs perfect? Celebrate direction, not perfection. That's really what we need. Direction. We're not going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. You know, like Rav Segal used to say, Amor ma'at va'aseh harbeh. Be makabel a few small things. Then you'll be able to do a lot of things. Let's change. No cake until Rosh Hashanah, if we can manage that. Although I don't know what, well, oh, last night was my lady day, so I ate my cake last night already. Okay, fine, but since today on, right, from the video. Okay? That's the first thing. Celebrate direction. We got to get direction. not perfection. And then he writes, when we eat because of emotional triggers, because of stress, anger, boredom, our life lacks meaning, and food temporarily provides that meaning. Sometimes food is an outlet. A person's angry, a person's upset, he's stressed out. So he comes and he raids the refrigerator because he's upset. It's not really that he's hungry. So we have to look into our lives. Why are we eating that way? I realize we have just 1 minute left, so let me just tell you two things. Chazal tell us in Yerushalmi, you know what that means? That the Yerushalmi is telling us that everybody has to give a din v'cheshbon on all the good food out there that was there that you didn't need it. We're not coming here to say that you're not allowed to eat. Of course you should eat. Who else did Hashem make beautiful food for? Chocolate mousse steaks. But it has to be within limitations. There's no food that's poison. Especially anything that grows. They wish to make it grow for us. It has to be with limitations. And the second thing, the Chazal, which is mentioned also again in Yerushalmi Nedarim, Loi Dayach, and you look at Ches Aleph in Yerushalmi Nedarim, Loi Dayach, Masha Osa Lecho Atayra, Al Sha'atam Avakish Lecha Lecha Dvarim Acherim. Yerusha gave you plenty of surim. Got to make yourself, what are you making more than so many chumras for yourself? Enjoy life. Stop making so many chumras. Enjoy life. You're allowed to eat. You're allowed to enjoy life. But it has to be with a must. Take a look at Perek Yud Gimel with Hilchos Yerushalmi. He quotes both of these Yerushalmis. He tells you, everything within a must, everything within limit. Yerusha should help that all of us, just like we're so careful in the next few weeks, what comes out of our mouth, the tefillah that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should make sure to be careful what comes into our mouth. We should be gesund, we should have a good year, a gebensh year, and we should all be able to live healthy lives and see Mashiach in our time. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening.